Welcome to our studies in the Gospel of Mark. Before we look at these truths, I'd like to bring out the thought of the difference between the four Gospels. Sometimes our viewers do not always have that information, and I want to repeat it. There are four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they correspond to the four, shall I say, aspects of the life of Christ. Matthew speaks of Christ as the King of Kings, whilst Mark speaks of him as a suffering Savior. Luke speaks of him as a Son of Man, whilst John speaks of him as a Son of God. Therefore, when we look at these Gospels, we're looking at the life of Christ from different aspects. And that's very important indeed, because each Gospel writer wants to emphasize a particular truth. Well, we come to Mark's Gospel. And first of all, we have to say this, that although it's called Mark's Gospel, in actuality, this Gospel was given to Mark by Peter. Peter calls himself, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, as being, the father of Mark, the spiritual father of Mark. And he calls Marcus my son. And so in the last days before he was martyred, Peter gave unto Mark all these valuable truths concerning the life of Jesus, as Peter himself experienced. Now, each Gospel writer, of course, had a different temperament. And both Mark and Peter shared, a temperament that was very quick. And so we see constantly the words that he used, straight away, immediately, and so forth. And their audience was more the Romans rather than the Hebrews. And so it's to a Gentile, congregation that Mark is appealing. Well, we start off, and he said, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is a fact that Mark was the first Gospel that was written. And the other Gospel writers, form their messages around Mark. And so Mark has the chronological order of the life of Christ. Now then, he starts off with the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he starts off by saying in verses 2 and 3 that the beginning of this Gospel really comes from the Old Testament. And it is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 that the Old Testament prophet made this statement. And he said, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now this is a quotation from Isaiah. So from Malachi and Isaiah, we get quotations concerning the messenger who is to come before the Lord comes. In other words, to prepare the way of the Lord. And of course, that is John the Baptist. And in verse 4, it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And they came out from all the land of Judea and Jerusalem and everywhere else, and they were baptized of John. Now, I had an interesting experience last night, and I want to share this with you, and I want to preface it by, repeating something that I've said before in one of the other Gospels, but essentially, that I had a friend, And he had a revelation, a vision of John baptizing. And he said, you know, the people were drawn not by a man, but by the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God that came upon that whole region and drew the people to come to John. Now, last night, I had an extraordinary experience, and you must understand that, you know, God speaks to his pastors by dreams and visions so that we can guide the church, you know, at the time appointed for the ministry that we have. And I had an interesting experience last night, and I saw over America the spirit of repentance poured out in certain areas such that people could hardly move because of conviction of sin. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to pour out his spirit upon the United States of America and turn her back to God. And the result, you see, is going to be something like this, that people will confess their sins. They will repent. And what does repentance mean? It means when they're going in one direction, they turn and go in the opposite direction. I think Paul develops this best when he says that the one who stole steals no more and works to provide and give to those in need. That's true repentance. And you see, it was John's baptism of repentance that transformed the people. Because as we look into the Word of God, we find that Jesus did not come to his people in a time of revival, but rather he was called a root out of a dry ground. In other words, the spiritual condition of the people of Israel at the time of the coming of Jesus was very bad indeed. And we see in America and elsewhere throughout the world that the spiritual condition of the people in nation after nation is indeed very weak, very weak. There is not a strength of resolve to seek God, but rather, shall I say this, there is a sense, you know, well, we'll carry on as usual, but nothing changes. But that is going to be different, because God is going to pour out his spirit, and it's a spirit of repentance where people will turn from their sins and start seeking God as they did in the time of John the Baptist. And what was the purpose? That their hearts would be prepared to receive the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, John says, look, I baptized in water, but there's one coming who will baptize in the Holy Ghost. And I just want to mention this thought of the difference between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, water baptism. That was fine. They confessed their sins, they turned, they changed. But then, you know, after his resurrection, in Acts chapter 1, the Lord specifically spoke to his disciples and said, tarry ye in Jerusalem, because you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And this is very important indeed. It is called the promise of the Father. In Isaiah 44 and verse 3, you know, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, meaning that the church would receive the Holy Spirit from the Father. And also it's called the refreshing. In Isaiah 28 and verse 12, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is called the refreshing. Speaking in other tongues is a refreshing. And then it says, but they would not hear. And it's a tragic thing that in the church today, there are large numbers who reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you're rejecting the promise of the Father. And you know, we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And those who have rejected the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father, how are they going to feel when they stand in his presence and he says, well, look, I offered you the Holy Ghost and you refused. Oh, no, don't let's be like that. Well, anyway, continuing in Mark, here is Jesus. He comes down and is baptized of John, and the heavens open. The Spirit of God, like a dove, descends upon him. And there comes a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, that is the accolade that we want to receive too. That, the Lord is well pleased with our lives. And that we should live in a manner that glorifies him day after day. Well, then he was driven into the wilderness, and there he was tempted of Satan. He was tempted, Mark doesn't go into it in detail, but the others do. He was tempted in his body, hunger came upon him. And Satan said, look, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh forth from God. And that is how we should live. You know, we should so be in communion with God that God can speak to us constantly, either from his word, quickening a scripture to us, or a living word to our heart. Constant communion with our Heavenly Father. And then also he was tempted in the soul, to tempt God. And he says, look, if you cast yourself down from this temple, the angels will pick you up. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Satan, in his last effort, said, look, if you worship me, I'll give you all the nations of the world. And Jesus responded that we are to worship God and God alone. And then Satan left. The angels ministered to him. And then picking up the narrative of the gospel story, we find that Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. And he sees two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Well, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And in a certain sense, that's what God wants to do for each one of us, you and I. To make us fishers of men, so that we bring men and women to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that, in the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the end of this world is perishing. It is the torments of the lake of eternal fire. And you see, the gospel, the good news is, look, if you believe in Christ as your Savior and walk with him, receive him as your Savior, then you will escape the judgment of eternal torment. Do you want to be eternally tormented? Oh, I plead with you. Accept Christ as your Savior. Well, he said he would make Simon and Andrew fishers of men. And then he moved on a little bit further. And he found, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And he called them. And they left their father with his hired servants. And they followed Jesus. And so you get the first of the four disciples. Now, it's a very important truth in life that as you look into the Word of God, that the promises that God makes to us are really fulfilled in our spiritual seed, our spiritual sons and daughters. And in order that Jesus could indeed be the light of the world, and that the message could be propagated through all nations, he had to raise up a spiritual seed. And here are the first of the four. And then we find he came to Capernaum. Now, the Sea of Galilee has many, shall I say, cities along the shore there. And one of perhaps the most important is the city of Capernaum. And that's where he dwelt. And he comes in there and he goes to the synagogue, that he was his custom. And there's another good truth there. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said we should not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Well, I want to tell you this. Pray every day, read your Bible every day, and go to church. You know, Jesus went to the synagogue, which was the equivalent of the church in those days, and he taught there. And that's where the teaching is given. And so we need to find a good church home where the pastor knows God and will break the bread of life to us, essentially the word of God. And we will grow thereby. Well, he comes into this synagogue, you see, in Capernaum, and there's a man there with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Aren't you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You're the Son of God." The demons knew who Jesus was, and they were afraid of him. And they didn't want him to come near them because he cast them into hell. Well, Jesus said, "Hold thy peace, come out." And he came out, and everybody was amazed. They said, "Well, what doctrine is this, that even the evil spirits will indeed obey him?" And you know, as servants of the living God, you know, we have power to cast out evil spirits too. Well, immediately his fame spread around, you see. Everybody heard about it, and they came out of the synagogue. They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, and Simon, Peter's wife's mother, lay sick of the fever. They told Jesus, he comes, and he holds her hand and said, "Arise." The fever leaves, and she ministered. Well, at that evening, you know, what happened was the people after work brought the diseased, brought the tormented to the house, and he indeed ministered to them, cast out the devils, and it says all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick of diverse diseases. And so here you have the twofold ministry of Jesus, if we could say that. You know, he taught and he healed the sick. And that is the ministry of the church. You know, when I was a pastor in France, we had over the door of the churches, "Jésus sauve et il guérit." And in English, it means Jesus saves and he heals. And he does the same today. And that's what we want in the churches, to come back to the teaching ministry, preach the gospel, salvation by faith in Christ, and then if you're sick, call for the elders, as James 5:14 says, and the prayer of the righteous shall indeed heal the sick. All right, and so that essentially was it. You see, the big crowds came, and so he got up very early and he went away, and his disciples found him afterwards praying in a desolate place, and they said, "Well, look, everybody's seeking you." And he said, "Look, I'm going to other villages." And that is one of the things that we have to realize, this, that we have a responsibility, that when we know Christ as our Savior, we must indeed share that joyous news with everybody we can. And, you know, the Lord will send us to other places other than those that live in, so that we might indeed preach the gospel of Christ and teach the people there. And so he went into their synagogues. And then there came a leper. And the leper came to Jesus. He knelt down, he prostrated himself before him. And he said, "Lord, if you will, you can heal me." Now, leprosy is, of course, a terrible disease, but it also has a spiritual connotation. It means sin. And there's a double thought here. You know, Jesus looked at him, had compassion upon him, and said, "Look, I will heal you." And he just touched the leper, and the leprosy disappeared. But also, I want to bring out the thought, you know, some people are tormented by sin. And you know, if you will come to Jesus and say, "Lord, you can deliver me from my sin." And you know, he'll have compassion upon you. And as you seek him earnestly, he will deliver you from your besetting sin, whatever that sin is that's holding you. And you can't escape from it. Some are, you know, held captive by Satan at his will. And you are very conscious of a certain sin in your life. And you've tried to battle with it. Come to Jesus and say, "Lord, you know, like this leper, oh Lord, you know, if you will, you can deliver me from this leprosy." Whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. A sin that's held you captive. And if you come to Jesus, you know, he's a person of great compassion, and he has the power to deliver you from your sin so that you might be freed, whatever it is, anger, fornication, whatever it is. He has the power to set you free. And I want to encourage you to come to Jesus, and you will indeed be set free. Well, you know, Jesus, after having healed the leper, says, "Now please don't go and tell anybody what I've done, because I want to move freely." But the leper, you know, proclaimed the good thing that Jesus had done for him, and the result is that the people everywhere thronged him, and he had absolutely no possibility of moving about openly in the city. Well, I just want to rehearse some of the things that we've said in this chapter so that we don't let them leak away, as it were. You know, the first one that we mentioned was the fact that John the Baptist, the baptism of repentance. And that is what we first have to do before we consider anything else. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, you know, and explained what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was. And the people came to him and said, "Look, brethren, what should we do?" And this is what he said: "Repent, be baptized in water, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit." And I want to emphasize that, you know, God is going to pour out the spirit of repentance upon America, upon many nations of the world, to prepare them for revival and, you know, the glory of God coming into the church. And that is the first thing that we have to do. We have to repent. Look, if we're doing things that are wrong, how can we expect to receive from God? We can't. You know, that was the whole message of those two prophets, Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 and Isaiah. You know, the thought was there that, look, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I want to close this message now by saying, look, as those prophets cried out to the people, prepare ye the way of the Lord, you know, by repentance, I want you, dear ones, you know, to consider your life and things that you're not doing right. You know, repent. Change from doing evil to doing good. And you prepare your heart in order to receive the Lord as your Savior. And, you know, if you are held by a besetting sin, you know, as this leper was, this leprosy, speaking of a physical ailment, yes, but it also speaks of, shall I say, a spiritual bondage, simple bondage. Look, the Lord can free you. And that is a beautiful message of the gospel of Christ. Come to Jesus and he will free you from your sins, and you will not perish, but by the grace of God, as you walk with him, then you will have eternal life, and you'll enter in to the joy of the Lord in heaven above, and you will not perish with the wicked in hell. And that is the gospel, the good news that I want to leave with you, and may God grant that you receive him as your Savior. You will not perish, but you're going to heaven and have eternal life. May God bless you abundantly.